This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm joined by Anne Clement. Anne, hello, how are you?
Doing well, Kate, how are you?
I'm well. So, Anne, you are Director of Programs for the Alzheimer's Association of Wyoming. That sounds an enormous job.
It can be. Luckily, in the summertime, we have the ability to get out into the community and really connect with folks at the local level, boots on the ground. And then outside of that space, we do rely on our volunteers to help us continue with education and caregiver support groups and things like that at the local level in person while we can continue to support them virtually. Our office is in Cheyenne, so we're in about the farthest southeast corner you can get and still manage to stay inside of the state. So it does become a little bit of an undertaking, but it's not impossible.
And we're sitting down in Johnson County. So thank you for coming to visit our community. And I know you've been talking with, you know, various people. You've done a presentation this evening at the Senior Center talking about Alzheimer's, which is a massive subject.
It is.
I think it's a condition that people know about. Maybe they are fearful of. It seems a very cruel and brutal a condition to have. I mean, it really attacks everything at the core of who we are, and people don't want to kind of accept that it's something that is here. What kind of a percentage of the population is actually affected by Alzheimer's and directly have the disease itself?
Yeah, so statewide, Wyoming sits at about 11% of the population that has Alzheimer's disease. It's about 1 in 8 of us over the age of 65 and 1 in 3 of us over the age of 85 that will have Alzheimer's disease or related dementia. So age is your greatest risk factor, for sure. Wyoming sits at about the national level as far as the percentage is concerned, so we don't have a higher incident or a lower incident across the state. And we're learning more and more about, you know, different cognition incidences across the state as we're getting more information through studies that are being released. There'll be a new study that will come out in September that will have some really amazing information done by county that will really help the counties be able to drill down on what their populations are experiencing, not just with Alzheimer's, but with other chronic diseases for aging adults. That'll be really helpful. But for us, really, just that awareness that there is a difference between normal age-related changes as we're aging and things that are related to cognition but aren't actually Alzheimer's disease that could have a completely different medical treatment that would be so terrible if we left it untreated for fear of being told we have Alzheimer's disease.
So that raises a kind of an interesting and important question, which is Alzheimer's falls under the umbrella category of dementia.
Correct.
And it is the most prevalent of those conditions under dementia, but is by no means exclusively the only one. So what exactly is Alzheimer's and how is it different from other conditions that may present similarly?
Sure. So dementia is what we consider an umbrella term for a collection of symptoms that impede our cognition in order to be able to execute everyday activities. So cognition can be impeded because we have low oxygen or because we have high blood pressure. There are other things that can make us feel confused or foggy or some of the things that we connect to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease itself, though, is actually marked by changes in the brain, where you have a protein in your blood called amyloid that can be tested. There's actually an FDA test that we're hoping will come out for approval soon, where they'll be able to do just a pinprick of your finger and test your blood for this protein called amyloid and be able to tell your likelihood of potentially developing Alzheimer's based on that presence of amyloid in your blood.
So it's a disease that the medical community still does not really fully understand. There's still a lot of research going on, and we don't know, but we know some things.
There are about 100 different clinical trials happening right now. The Alzheimer's Association is the third largest funder of clinical trials and research across the world, second only to the United States and the Chinese government. So those clinical trials are looking at a variety of aspects of influence into the development of the disease, and not just Alzheimer's, but other dementia as well. So you're right, there isn't a total understanding of how to prevent the disease at this point. There are some different beliefs in what exactly needs to be tackled in order to prevent. There is an understanding of how the disease progresses. That has absolutely been cataloged and understood. But how do we stop those dominoes from falling, if you will, when it comes to the collection of amyloid and plaques and tangles in the brain that then leads to the brain cells dying, which is what then presents itself as the memory and thinking changes that we associate with Alzheimer's disease.
So that's basically what Alzheimer's is, a deterioration and a decay and demise of those nerve cells in your brain. And your brain basically just stops working right. And it's different in everybody.
It is. They say if you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia. It is a different journey for every single person.
Okay, and it can be physical and mental.
There are changes that happen across the board. The cognitive pieces that we think about, kind of what make us, you know, human as opposed to not quite as human, which is a terrible way to say it. Really the cognition that makes us that accelerated species, right? So our ability to plan and think and build memories and have feelings and emotions and respond to things are all a part of that greater cognition that's a part of our cerebrum that is the first part that's affected. But eventually it does then decay the part of the brain that is responsible for your movements and your ability for balance and walking. And then eventually all the way down to swallowing, breathing, those involuntary motions that are absolutely necessary for life.
Okay. So very challenging condition and
absolutely
scary.
Very scary.
And very difficult to be a caregiver for as well.
Absolutely.
Johnson County has a significantly higher proportion of older people living in our community, and you know, we may not know who they are, but we have a lot of new people in our community who, you know, maybe not yet connected in. They have a beautiful but somewhat remote home of their dreams, but they're not yet, you know, connected into our community or so on. You know, how do you begin to sense that either yourself or your partner is not just getting a little older? And how this is actually something that you really need to do something about. I think that's an important question that probably is prevalent in people's minds. They joke about it, but
of course,
where is the boundary? Where do you step?
Those cognitive changes that are a separation between normal aging and cognitive changes that are of concern. It's really when it starts to become something that affects your ability to execute those everyday life activities. So your ability to organize a grocery list, your ability to pay the monthly bills on time without accidentally paying the bills twice, and not occasionally, right? We're talking about over and over again kind of a thing. So keeping track of the changes that you're seeing for yourself or your loved one, even writing them down, is really helpful so that you, either for your own reference or for your loved ones, have a good point to go back and say, this is actually happening every week, or this is actually happening three times a day, or right, so that you can see a transition in, well, back in March, this didn't happen very often, but now it's August and I'm seeing this almost every day.
Do you see mood swings and different types of personality changes as well?
That can be a part of it. We have a 10 warning signs program that we provide that talks through those 10 warning signs of those changes to be aware of, and mood swings is definitely one of them. The 10 signs are not a checklist. It's not first one and then two. It isn't if one happens, it will always happen. It's kind of a continuum of things that can come in and out. And other outside environmental influences can absolutely affect how strongly those symptoms come across. So if someone isn't getting adequate sleep, if their diet isn't sufficient, if they're not getting physical activity and social stimulation throughout the day, if they don't have any cognitive engagement, all of those things are very influential on their cognition and how those symptoms will present themselves. Making sure that your blood pressure is around 120. They used to think that 140 was low enough, but they actually ran a clinical trial where they had a cohort that they kept at 140 systolic and another cohort they kept at 120 and measured their cognitive symptoms as it related to blood pressure. And they had to suspend the cohort at 140 2 weeks into it because it was so markedly obvious that it was affecting their cognition, that it was unethical to continue that clinical trial. So knowing your medical history, if your family has a medical history of high blood pressure, be sure you know that with your numbers. Be sure your doctor knows your numbers. Just being aware of those changes as you're aging, and not necessarily just as it's related to cognition, just across the board. Knowing your numbers for oxygen saturation and blood sugar, those are all really important things to just support your cognition in general, separate from your concern of necessarily having Alzheimer's.
So what do you recommend people do? Who do they go and talk to if they have a concern? What services are there? And is it worth getting diagnosed you know, even maybe just to get a baseline, is it worth doing that? Or, you know, is there just no hope? That's it. You have it. You just have to live with this and hope it's not too rough.
So the federal government passed a few years ago for Medicare a mini-cog that's part of the 65 and plus annual exam. So you can go in and ask your primary care provider for a mini-cognition exam where they'll give you a series of questions. And if you're not having any cognitive concerns, it's still a great baseline for them. And the questions will probably seem silly, and I don't even know why I took this test. It was so easy. That's because you're not having any cognitive concerns. But it provides a baseline for your physician to keep a medical record so that if you were to present with cognitive changes, they would be able to see a timeline for when that happened. So over the age of 65, it's great to just start that as a baseline, just like we talk about other exams at a certain age, colonoscopies, mammographies. There are other things that we just know we should go in and start doing certain things at a certain age because that's what's recommended for preventative screening. So these mini-cogs aren't just about, I keep forgetting things, I should probably have something checked. It's really more like, I'm 65, I need to be sure I have a baseline of my cognition. I'm going to start with my primary care provider because then I have a documented medical history of changes that have happened for myself. That can make a big difference, especially in the space of the treatment that's now been approved by the FDA. So Leqembi was approved back in January, and then this last month in July, the CMS added it to the Medicare formulary, so now it's covered financially as well.
And that's something that people may have heard about. There was a lot of national news about
there sure was.
That. It was seemed to be a very bright moment for Alzheimer's treatment.
100%. It's the first time we've had a treatment that actually biologically slows the progression of the disease. Up until now, we've had some other treatments come online that work kind of to modify the symptoms and kind of keep them at bay for a particular amount of time. But it would be similar to taking a Tylenol for a headache, but it doesn't necessarily make the headache go away. It just makes you not feel the pain during that time, right? So those symptom allaying medications were just that. And they were short-lived for the patient. They often didn't last in effectively for more than a couple of months, and then that was no longer effective for that patient. Leqembi, on the other hand, actually biologically slows the progression of the disease anywhere from 5 months to 3 years. So in those early stages that we refer to as mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, or early stage diagnoses, those patients are eligible for that medication. Once the disease has progressed too far, it's no longer effective for them, so a doctor wouldn't prescribe that for that patient at that point. And there are dangers that are associated with it. You do have to go in and have scans done to make sure you're not having any brain bleeds or brain swells. There have been a couple of deaths associated with it. Just like in any other pharmaceutical space, there are dangers associated with the drug that treats the disease. But if you consider the alternative to having 3 more years of your freedom, have three more years of your memories, having 3 more years of being able to live with your loved ones and be a part of things that you otherwise wouldn't have had any recall for, is meaningful to people.
And maybe 3 more years to decide what you truly want.
Absolutely.
And how you to come to terms with this, because it is a very significant diagnosis.
It is.
For an individual and a family.
It is.
And so maybe a little bit longer just to kind of come to terms with maybe what's going on, really make some very considered decisions about how you want to use that time, what your priorities are.
Very true.
Plan for the future, know what are your tolerables, what are the things you definitely don't want to happen to you, and
yes,
things that you would be prepared to accept.
And then those decisions don't have to be made for you by your family members later in life. Your wishes can be followed.
So to be clear, there's no cure yet for Alzheimer's.
Correct.
But there is something which, if you are diagnosed early enough, can maybe really help in the initial stages, really give you some relief and slow everything down.
Yes, and we did have a second drug that was just FDA approved called Dicanumab. That one has yet to have been given a new name, but that one had a 37% disease, that slowed the disease progression by 37%. So it was even more scientifically remarkable than Leqembi. We'll have a third one come out this fall that is by the name, it's called Gantenerumab, and that will also have an over-the-counter name, and we'll hear those clinical trial results in the coming weeks.
Okay, well, that's exciting, too. There's been a worldwide
mm-hmm.
push to, do effective, meaningful clinical research to really find a solution to this problem, because, as you said, it's 11% or so of a population. That's quite a significant number of an older population, and we as Americans are becoming an older population.
That's true.
We're a little top-heavy.
Very top-heavy. The silver tsunami is, I like to call it.
Yes.
And Wyoming as a state, I think, is poised to be kind of at the peak of that tsunami just based on the number of folks who are currently sitting around that 65 to 70-year age as they push towards that 80 to 85-year age. I mean, we're talking 1 in 3 people. That's 33% of that population is going to need cognitive care.
So if you are in Wyoming or Johnson County, where should you go? What should you be thinking? Should you be thinking, I need to move to a bigger metropolitan area? I need to give up my beautiful view and my wonderful remote rural community for proper care? What do you suggest?
Oh, it's a great question. I mean, I think it's a good thing for everyone to consider, really. I mean, we'd all like to be 97 years old and have all of our wits about us and driving our own car and die peacefully in our sleep, but the reality is very few of us are going to end up there anyway. So I would suggest the long-term care question isn't specific necessarily to memory care. I think that's an aging question across the board in Wyoming to really consider what are your expectations for access to care. And what are your current support systems? What do they look like? Do you have family here in town? Is your expectation to stay in your home, or are you interested in living in assisted living? And just what are your options depending upon the answers to those questions?
And at what point in your life might you be prepared to consider those things too?
That too.
Yeah. So to go back to the question, if you're in Wyoming, where should you go? You start with your primary care physician.
Primary care provider, for sure. And if you are presenting with cognitive concerns that they would consider above that, they call them the ADLs, those everyday living activities that you're no longer able to complete those activities on your own, then they can refer you to a specialist in order for it to be diagnosed. It does at this point take an MRI for an accurate diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. They are working on two different biological fluid tests, so blood tests, where they'll be able to prick your finger and get an accurate reading of how much amyloid is in your bloodstream to know whether or not the cognition concerns you're having are related to Alzheimer's disease. So hopefully we're, you know, short-term away from that being something we can all access, and that will change the game on diagnosis when it comes to catching people early. But for now, it's really about connecting with your primary care physician and getting that mini cognitive test done so that you can then move forward with this exam gave us these results. We need to have definitive tests done.
Okay, well, Anne, thank you very much indeed for
this dive
into Alzheimer's and the work that the Alzheimer's Association is going to do. I hope you have a good trip back to Cheyenne, and thank you for everything you do in this difficult area.
Well, thank you for hosting me, and I'm really glad to be here in Johnson County. I look forward to working with everyone here.
Well, thank you very much.